none other than God himself. Moses did not write these laws, break them up. He simply mediated these laws and proclaimed them. Laws by which God's people would be purified of their sin. The next time it is mentioned, it is called the custom of the law. That's an odd way of talking about it, because we think of customs today as just habits that we have as people together, right? We have family customs. We have customs in our community, our society has customs. That's not exactly what Luke is saying here. He's not saying that the laws were mere customs, mere habits that people as groups have. No. He's saying that this was the habitual life of God's people in the Old Testament. It still was to this day when Jesus appears, carried as an infant by his parents in his temple. So it's not mere custom. But there it is, the custom of the law, the habit of the law, the shape of the life of that people. And then the last time it is mentioned, it's again the law of the Lord, four times. Four times, like a drum beating through the entire gospel reading. The law, the law, the law, the law. And here we are in the temple, where all of these laws designed by God through the shedding of blood to purify his people from their sins, where all of these laws are to be carried out. Jesus is in the right place at the right time. And Luke wants us to understand. He does not want us to miss. So he repeats it four times. Jesus is doing all the right things too. Jesus is not just keeping the law of the Lord. That is, he's not just obeying it, following its dictates, letter by letter. He is doing that. He is obeying. But he isn't just obeying the law. He is fulfilling the law. Now, this is something that no other person could do. Everyone else could, at least according to the letter of the law, keep the law. That is, these ceremonial laws, these rituals that were designed to purify you from sin. It was cumbersome, it was inconvenient, it was extraordinarily expensive. It occupied about half of every devout Jew's life. And at some times during the year, it took over your life. During the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the sacrifice of the Passover, you did nothing else than prepare for and carry out these rituals of the law. The devout Jew would either raise or save enough money every year so that he could make all these necessary sacrifices, and it wasn't just a few. They were many. They were burdens. But if you were organized and diligent, you could keep these laws. You could prepare the proper animal at the proper time and bring it and make the sacrifice, shed the blood, and keep these laws. Mary and Joseph, that's what they are doing. They are keeping the law, obeying the law. And the law required two things on this occasion. First of all, that her time for purification be observed. A woman who had given birth, well, it wasn't until about 40 days after that birth that she could even think about being going out in public.
presentable again to the community to be considered clean and not pure. And of course, this is her firstborn son. And although he has not opened the womb in the conventional sense, this is the virgin Mary. She is still that son. But so the law requires that he be redeemed. That's kind of odd to think about, isn't it? Jesus needed to be redeemed according to the law of the Old Testament. Every firstborn animal, especially human being, every firstborn belonged to the Lord. And in order for the parents to keep you, if you were the firstborn, they had to provide a substitute, a way of sacrifice at the temple. Hannah in the Old Testament simply gave her firstborn. She did what she promised to do. And she said, I have lent him to the Lord for all his life. Now, if you lend something to somebody for all their life, you never get it back, do you? Lend your neighbor your lawnmower as long as it lasts, as long as it runs, and we'll never give your lawnmower back. And there's poor Hannah so desperate for a child that she promises to do this with her firstborn, and that's what she does. She keeps the law. She goes to the temple in Shiloh, and she lends her son to the Lord as long as he shall live, and she never gives him back. But if you wanted to keep your firstborn, you had to redeem it. Be an animal or a son. Mary and Joseph are pretty difficult parents. They don't keep this little baby. He needs to be redeemed. And they are apparently, at least according to the Institute Luke provides for us, so destitute that they cannot provide the ordinary sacrifice, but the one that was a concession to people who had nothing, only pennies to spend, two turtle doves. That was it. But that was enough, by the way, to keep the law. Their duty is carried out. As far as they are concerned with regard to this particular law about the firstborn, they have kept it. That's all it takes to keep the law, the letter of the law. They are there in the temple to keep the law. Jesus is there in the temple to keep it and to fulfill it. And only Jesus can do this. Only Jesus can both keep the law, and in his case, perfectly. If you were an Old Testament Jew, these laws were so cumbersome that I imagine you spent a lot of time not only trying to keep them, but a lot of time complaining about keeping them. They cost you a lot of money. Just the time that was required from Jewish people didn't amount to what we think of as that 10% of the tenth. If you kept all of the laws and did all the sacrifices and all of the tithes, it was 40% of everything you had every year just to keep the law, the letter of the law. And that is all that's required. 40% of everything you have every year that the law is kept. So you can see how cumbersome and how inconvenient it must have been. Now, you complain about paying taxes. You complain about other fees. Look at your cell phone bill. I know you don't look at it. Why? Because it would just make you mad. You don't know what half of those things are. It's $5 for this and $12 for that, and you don't know what that is. So you just pay it and you complain about it. And that was the way it was for the Jews of the Old Testament. They kept the law and they grumbled about it. And that is the way it is with us. There are people that used to keep the law. Law keeping. That would keep you in the law. It's not hard. But we do it from an impure heart, and so our heart is never in it. But the law requires that our heart be in it, as well as our bodies. his whole body. And only he can do it. Can you imagine this? This is the insight of being God-given, spirit-given insight that Simeon has when he sings that great song, the Note to the Menace. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. Your word has been fulfilled, for my eyes have seen your salvation. The only person in the world, in the world, and he is in the world now as a man, who can keep the law from a pure heart, and who can fulfill that law in himself, in his flesh, by being the sacrifice for not just the firstborn, but everyone born of Adam. The only man in the world who can do it is right there in the arms of Simeon and of his parents, not even a man yet. He's a baby. This is what Luke wants us to see. That the infant Jesus is already, although he cannot speak, he cannot walk, he cannot lift heavy things, lay a cross upon this infant and it will crush him to death. He's already fulfilling the law for Mary and for Joseph, for Simeon and for Anna, for you and for me. But it's not his infant innocence that makes his law-keeping pure. We think of babies as being innocent because they look innocent. So do puppies. So do kittens. All little babies look innocent. It's terrible masquerading. They aren't. Especially our children, our babies. It is not his infant innocence, the pure infant heart, but the pure heart of the Son of God in human flesh. And when he is 12 and no longer looks innocent, he still is. And when he's a man and now able to talk and walk and carry that cross, although it still practically crushes him, he is still innocent, still pure, still keeping the law, still fulfilling the law. What Moses had commanded, what God had commanded, what the Lord had commanded, what Jesus himself, even before his incarnation, speaking on Sinai to his servant Moses face to face, had offered and commanded. Jesus himself, in human flesh, face to face with his people, his mother, his father, Simeon and Anna, fulfills. What the law required was a substitute. That's what God was trying to teach his Old Testament people all along. Your children need a substitute. You need a substitute. The whole nation needs a substitute. The whole world needs a substitute. And only Jesus can do it. That's why he's in the temple. That's your substitute. That's why he grows in stature and knowledge. That's why he keeps the law perfectly day by day from a pure heart. That's why he fulfills the law daily from a pure heart. That's why he carries that cross that practically crushes him. And of his own free will and out of the choice set before him to redeem you and make you the firstborn of God, the holy race of King, mounts that cross and suffers and dies for you. This is what the law required. That law was not written for us. We think it is. It was not meant for us to keep, for us to fulfill. himself empty. And he takes the law upon himself and keeps it and fulfills it in his death on the cross. And you are redeemed. And you are the substitute. And you are presented to God, pure and holy, righteous and innocent, free from sin today.